We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Are you confident the Tigers could get to Sunday?
No. All I've ever said is that it's possible, realistic, and that they will not be a significant underdog to anybody inside FedEx Forum. But, you know, they're going to be in a coin flip situation, assuming they close this out, tomorrow against UCF. And then they will be an underdog if they get past that one when they play the Houston Cougars on Saturday. So, listen, it's funny, like you provide, you know, you use these words and try to make it as clear as you can make it what it is you're saying about a particular thing, and it still gets twisted one way or another. I have to this moment never predicted Memphis would win the American Athletic Conference tournament, never promised you that they would even play for it on Sunday. All I've said is that they're good enough to do it, that only good teams have beaten them in that building, Cincinnati and Tennessee, and that they would not be a significant underdog against anybody, Houston included, inside FedEx Forum. But it's a climb uphill. I mean, there's a reason why Houston is still projected to win this event, mm-hmm. and Memphis probably wouldn't even be second on that list. And it's because, the Tigers aren't one of the, you know, they're not the best team in this league. They're not the second best team in this league. But FedEx Forum can balance the playing field a little bit. And obviously, I think that's what just about everybody listening right now hopes. But I've never promised or even predicted anything other than it should be a fun week, and they've got a realistic chance to do this than any other five seed in any other tournament.
We're up 77-66, and I say we, I mean Memphis. 77-66 over Tulane with 3:19 to go second half, and it looks like they're going to hold on to win, although closer than what the spread was. Out of those teams they've got, USC presumably tomorrow, and then Houston would be on Saturday, and then obviously Cincinnati would likely await somewhere there. Which of those three would you say is the better opponent, the best opponent of the three of them at this point? Obviously, Houston is probably one, and then would it be Cincinnati two, and then UCF, Central Florida there, the team that we get tomorrow, probably be the third hardest team of the three?
Yeah, that's the way I would rank them. I actually, though I was happy for Fran Dunphy to win that game last weekend, his final home game as Temple's head coach, that was not a good thing for Memphis because, according to all of the computers, UCF is better than Temple, and UCF mm-hmm. had played better down the stretch than Temple. But when Temple won that game, combined with Wichita State winning at Tulane, it made Temple the three seed and UCF the four, which always meant that Memphis on Friday, if it got to Friday, would be playing UCF in the quarterfinals as opposed to Temple in the quarterfinals. And though Memphis might be favored over UCF, they would have been a more significant favorite over Temple. And so, you know, you're going to play three teams. If you're going to win this thing, you've got to beat three NCAA tournament teams on back-to-back-to-back days. Yeah. That's not an easy thing to do. It's not something Memphis has done all season. But just like I talked about last week and as recently as yesterday, I don't like the cliche of take it one game at a time, but I really do think, you know, you've got to focus on, you know, each 40-minute game as it presents itself. This one, obviously, against Tulane, significant favorite, and it does look like they're going to close it out. Yeah. They're shooting around 48% from the field, 42% from three-point range. Jeremiah Martin's got 16 points on 11 shots, so he hasn't been efficient. Mm-hmm. But the fact that Memphis is probably going to win by double digits without Jeremiah Martin being very good today, I think is an encouraging sign. Keevan Davenport right now with 16 points on 13 shots. He's 3 of 6 from beyond the arc. So you get this win, and you go, okay. Because the way people talk about it in advance is you got to win 4 games in 4 days.
Yeah.
Well, now you only got to win 3 games in 3 days.
Right.
Like the one's in your rearview mirror. So you look up tomorrow and you go, okay. Forget about 3 games in 3 days. Let's just focus on UCF. We have to beat mm-hmm. UCF in our building.
Yep.
We have to beat Central Florida.
Yeah.
Inside FedEx Forum. And we've done that by 20 points. So let's just do something that we've already done this season. And then you wake up on Saturday and you go, okay, where are we at now? Okay, Houston. Now, this is a little tougher deal because
right.
Houston's legitimately a top 15 team in the country. They're your outright league champions. They've only lost twice all season, but can we beat them inside FedEx Forum? If we can be up double digits on Cincinnati with 14 to play, if we can beat UCF by 20, if we can hang with Tennessee and only lose by 10 in this building, then why can't we go beat Houston? We don't have to beat Houston right. in Houston. We don't have to beat them on a neutral court. We don't have to beat them, you know, in a best-of-seven series. You just got to beat them on a Saturday inside FedEx Forum. And they will be an underdog, and I won't pick them to win the game. But it's not crazy to think that they could, and that's why this event has always given Memphis an outside shot at the NCAA tournament, even if the resume is not on paper worthy.
It's a 9-point lead right now with about 2 minutes remaining here for Memphis, so probably closer than they would like going in, but it looks like they'll hold on to win this game and then play Central Florida tomorrow, like you said. I want to ask you one more Memphis question, then I want to get to Zion Williamson because that's the story, obviously, in college basketball with him playing tonight against Syracuse. But the final sort of Memphis-related thing was there's this I don't know if you've seen this video or not this video floating around the internet. And it's got I'm losing my notes here, Gary. It's actually James Wiseman at the state tournament in the quarterfinals, and he's dunking over a player. He grabs the rim. He basically jumps over a 6'3" dude. Have you seen this video yet?
I have not seen that, but I have seen large men jump over small men before. So I can imagine what it looks like.
Imagine a 7-foot human named James Wiseman jumping over a little 6'3" guy, and not so little, I guess, 6'3". And it's now, but have we ever seen a player like we're going to see in James Wiseman? I mean, when I saw this video, I mean, I've seen all the videos around about him, but I saw that today and I just went, man, in 8 months, basically, he's going to be on campus and it's going to be just a different day.
Well, he'll probably be on campus in, like, June. Like, he'll enroll and start working out on campus in the summer, like most high-major players do. And then he should be awesome. I don't want to overstate it. I mean, he is legitimately, according to some recruiting rankings, the number one prospect in America. But he's not, like, something we've never seen.
Right.
You know, he's a 6'11", terrific athlete who runs the floor very well. Dunks and dunks everything, blocks everything, and can step away from the basket and make a three. He is I would trade future earnings with him right now if he'd be willing to do it. He's going to make a lot of money, tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, playing basketball, barring a surprise or an injury. But you know, every year we have incredible. Bigs who enroll in college. You know, last season we had a bunch of them, whether it was DeAndre Ayton or Marvin Bagley or Jaren Jackson Jr. or Mo Bamba. He's not LeBron James. I don't even think he's Zion Williamson, but I do think he is. He's going to be the type of talent that Memphis hasn't had in its program in a little while. Yep. And the idea that Penny was able to get that done and create the type of excitement that's going to accompany that team all offseason and preseason is, it's why we spent all, last February and March talking about what needed to be done, because this was always possible, and it's pretty close to becoming a reality.
Yeah, I mean, Jason Smith and I were talking about, because today on their show, John Martin said that he sees no way that James Wiseman fails in the NBA. And I thought John learned his lesson about the 100% guarantees on the shows. But I only pointed out to Jason that that's just not true. Like, and Jason brought up the example of Scal Labissiere. And I thought it was a good example. Not that Scal made the league. But my point was, there is a chance he could fail in the NBA, even if he's drafted in the top five next year in 2020.
Well, of course there is. I mean, that's, with all due respect to John, that's a silly thing to say. Scal was the number one player in America coming out of high school. And if you would have told me, take high school Scal or high school James Wiseman, I might have taken high school Scal.
Right.
Because I just thought the skill set was perfect for the modern NBA. And for whatever reason, it just hasn't translated. You know, he might just be a guy forever or until he's bounced out of the league. So, listen, there are top five picks in almost every draft that, quote-unquote, fell relative to what they were supposed to be. And if you think James Wiseman is immune to that, you're out of your mind. He does. He's a smart kid, works hard, and has incredible natural gifts. But there are smart people who work hard and have incredible natural gifts who, you know, that league's hard.
Yeah.
You know, I'll put it this way. There have been more talented people than James Wiseman who have, quote-unquote, failed in the NBA.
Right.
If he does it, if he doesn't make it to stardom or even relevancy, he won't be the first.
Right. Memphis is up 78-68. It's 40 seconds to go, so Memphis going to hold on and play tomorrow. And then finally, before we let you go, Gary Parrish has joined us. He's at CBS in New York on set, and I want to let you go, but the first thing I want to ask you before you go is Zion Williamson is the story, right, tonight with Syracuse. I mean, this is what everybody seems to be talking about because Zion is going to play against Syracuse here in the ACC tournament.
Yeah, first time he will have played in basically 3 weeks since his shoe exploded and his knee was injured in the opening minute of that game against North Carolina. And, you know, I'm glad that finally we can put the rest, all of this. I don't think he's going to come back because, like I said yesterday on air, all of the people who were saying, I don't think he's going to come back, sounds like he's shutting it down. They just did not know what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. This injury, from the jump, was always supposed to be about a 2 or a 3 week injury. If you want to fault Duke for initially calling it day to day when it was always going to be 2 or 3 weeks, I'll get on board with that because they added to the speculation because when people hear day to day, they think might be back tomorrow, right. Might be back this weekend. And he was just never going to come back tomorrow or this weekend. It was always going to be about in this time frame. But either way, that's in the past. You know, the best college basketball player in the country and the best NBA prospect in the world is going to be on display tonight in Charlotte against Syracuse. And, you know, we don't have many of these Zion games left at Duke, no matter how well Duke does in the NCAA tournament, because the maximum amount of games Zion Williamson can play at Duke going forward is 9. It's mm-hmm. 3 in this ACC tournament and then 6 in the NCAA tournament. And I imagine everyone, for people who care about these things, will be appointment television because if you're a basketball fan, it's the team that's favored to win the national championship, even if they're not ranked in the top 4 right now. And then if you're an NBA fan, it's also the number one prospect in the world who also happens to be the best player in the country. And those two things are not always the same. You've heard me talk about it for years. There's a difference between a great player and a great prospect. You know, like Scalabissier was a really great prospect at Kentucky, but not a great player at Kentucky. There are great prospects that aren't great players.
Jaren Jackson probably be a good example of that.
Jaren was good at Michigan State, but he wasn't a star.
Right.
He's been better as a, I think you could reasonably argue, he's been better as a rookie in the NBA than he was as a freshman at Michigan State.
That's fair.
And I think that's got something to do with how he was used or not used at Michigan State, but that is a decent example. Jaren Jackson was an unbelievable prospect, not a great player. Trae Young was a great player and great prospect. Zion Williamson is a great player and a great prospect. Again, he's not just the presumed number one pick in June's NBA draft. He is the best college basketball player in the country. Has been that basically all season, and it's really not even close or up for debate.
I want to let you go over under on how many times ESPN's going to do an ISO camera shot of Zion's shoes tonight. That'll probably be the big story for them.
Well, there's already pictures circulating of him lacing them up. Right. I mean, you know, listen, when you've got somebody who is at this star level, you milk it for whatever you can. I mean, the truth is right now, you know, LeBron James is still LeBron James and the Warriors are the Warriors. But outside of those two things, I really do think Zion is the biggest star in basketball at any level right now. And so I don't blame ESPN for focusing on him every second of every minute of every game and also pregame, postgame, because he's the person people want to see.
Yep. Hey, Gary, I appreciate you carving out some time on set there. That's very cool. Thank you.
You got it. Thanks for handling everything back in Memphis. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
You got it. That is Gary Parrish live from New York City. I appreciate Gary carving out some time. And, of course, on CBS Sports Network. CBS, of course, is the network of stars. It's America's most watched network. I'm obliged to say that because Gary is the host of this show. And we'll have Gary on again tomorrow afternoon here on the Gary Parrish Show. Of course, live games going. And now Memphis closing out against Tulane. Final score, Memphis 83, Tulane 68.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.